I will be in Psalm 100 and 2 Chronicles 20, and I get the privilege of getting to introduce our topic and kick things off this afternoon. And it's interesting, after what was preached this morning, we're going to preach this afternoon on thankfulness. And I've thought, you know, as we were preparing, why are we beginning this journey that we're going to take in this new building with the idea of being thankful? And I think the answer is in Psalm chapter 100. It's a short psalm, one of my favorites, and I'm just going to read all five verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So we have built a basketball court. And you ask me, why should we be thankful as we go into the basketball court? Well, because the Bible says, to enter into his courts with praise. I believe that's a very literal interpretation of that scripture. And I would like to just simply begin by sharing not just why we should be thankful, but why are we taking the time with a pastor that preaches on thankfulness regularly? Why are we taking time to begin this journey into all that God is going to do in this gymnasium and in this new building? Why are we going to take the time to preach on thankfulness? And I love what Brother Pope said a couple weeks ago when he was talking about purity. He said that there are some things in the Bible that there's wiggle room for. There are some things that maybe are somewhat up to interpretation. There are some things that maybe have some flexibility around them, that we don't know exactly what exactly they mean. And he said about purity, purity is not one of those things. There is no wiggle room. And could I tell you, if you're wondering this afternoon, if being thankful has wiggle room, it does not. You see, I find it very interesting in the Bible. The Bible does not command me in the things that I do not struggle with. The Bible does not command me to eat, Miss Paulette. I don't struggle with that. The Bible does not command me to eat, Brother Tim. To sleep. I don't struggle with that. But over 300 times the Bible says, fear not, because I struggle with that. And if you do a word search in your Bible, in a Bible software of give thanks, you'll see 34 times in your Bible it says give thanks. That is a commandment. Amen. So why are we talking about that? Why do we give thanks? It is a command. If you look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Under the rule of King Jehoshaphat, the army of Israel, the people of God, were about to enter into a battle in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And could I say, I don't mean to be negative, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, we are preaching on thankfulness, but I want to remind you that not only should we be thankful for this building, but there are going to be battles that take place in this building. There are going to be Sunday school teachers who wrestle with what they're going to teach, and there are going to be people that walk into this building that may not see the mission that we have. There are going to be young people that come into this building that are going to be fighting their own spiritual battles. And I think that's something that we need to be aware of. But don't worry, we ought to still be thankful. The army was overwhelmed. They were fearful. They were backed into a corner. They were in distress because they felt like that they might very well lose this battle and this might be the end of the rope. But then God showed up. And in verse number 14 of 2 Chronicles 20, says, the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation, And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thou saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of his great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
Amen.
The battle is not yours, but God's. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they will come up to the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." And he goes on and gives them instructions. We see in verse 17, he says, "O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed." Again, "fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." For the Lord will be with you. Verse 18, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high." So they praised God. They had thankfulness and gladness in their hearts before the battle even began. We ought to be thankful as we go in to this new journey that God has for this church, because the battle is not ours, but it is God's. And we ought to be thankful, not just because we have men in this church that have put so much into seeing this happen. We ought to be thankful for that. We ought not to be thankful for the fact that God protected us and God led us as this building was raised up, but we ought to be thankful for what's going to happen.
Amen.
Before
yes,
it happens.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And so very quickly, I'm almost done. Be thankful, because the battle that we're about to fight is not ours, but it is God's. And so why should we do that? They thanked God for what he was going to do. And here's the key with thankfulness. It is impossible to be thankful and be prideful.
Wow.
One must be humble in order to be thankful. And so as we go into this building, as we go into this journey, let us not forget that indeed, nothing that is accomplished for the kingdom of God is by our own strength. Nothing. Only by the power of God. And so we're going to talk about, for the rest of the time, about what we have to be thankful for and what the remedy of that thankfulness will be, when to be thankful. And Brother Branson is going to share with us when we ought to be thankful.
All righty, if you have your Bibles, could you please turn to Ephesians 5:20? Ephesians 5:20. So now we've heard on why of thankfulness, and I'm going to be preaching a little bit on when. When do we need to be thankful? So Ephesians 5:20, and it says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So when do we need to be thankful? Now. Now is the time to be thankful. The Lord has given us this gym. He has given us a church family. He has given us family. It's time now. It is due time that we be thankful. It says here that always, always, we need to be thankful now. The Lord's doing a work in my life, and I need to be thankful to him now. Not only do we need to be thankful now, we need to be thankful in any situation, in any situation. If you have your Bibles, can you please turn to Romans 8:28? Romans 8:28. So now we know the why, and now I'm getting to when do we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful now and in any situation and in all things. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose." So we need to be thankful for the good times and for the bad times, and the Lord has given us some good times here, and we need to be thankful. But when the bad times come, we still need to be thankful. As Brother Andy said, it is a command. So now, we need to start being thankful for everything he has done for us.
Okay, so my foundation. When you think of that, a building goes down, that foundation is still there. So when that old building came down, all the love that was built in there, all that joy that was built in there, all that faith, everything that was built in there, those memories is still there. Foundation will still be standing no matter what. Your focus, you want God to kind of choose your decisions for it to please him, not really to please you, but make both of you guys happy in both ways. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "And Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So just always give thanks. And I'm going to say something I told Preacher earlier. I told him to stand up, turn that way, and look to his left, because the building was to his left now.
All right, guys, I'm going to be preaching about thankfulness in prayer. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 4:6. Also, as you're turning there, I would like to thank Brother Brian and this amazing opportunity I get to have to preach the Word of God. Now it says here in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." See, how can we have thankfulness in prayer? Well, first of all, we can pray for what He's done and what He has given. See, I've been praying for the gym to get done and run, like, do amazing things in our ministry. And I've been praying for youth conference, and Lord just done a great job in that, and it was just amazing. And second of all, how can we pray for Thanksgiving? Well, second of all, we'll pray for what He'll do. Pray for what He has done. Pray for what He has in store for us. Yes. I've been praying for what the Lord has done for me, and I've been praying for my future, and that's something that we can work on to pray for our future, and pray for the next generation, right? Because it's going downhill, and I think we should pray for that. That's all I have.
My heart was a stone. His name, that name is Jesus. if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And we're starting a new thing right here, so I'm going to just do a recap of what we just went over, if you forgot already. But Andy talked about it's God's will. So why should we be thankful? Because it's God's will. Not only is it God's will, but it's commanded, and it's also expected. Branson went over when should we be thankful? We should be thankful in any situation, the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, and in all things, every situation of our life, we should be thankful.
Yes.
Preston went over in Christ, and he talked about the foundation of the gym and how no matter what you build there, that foundation is still going to stay there, and Christ should be our foundation, so our thankfulness should be in Christ. And then Travis went over how should we be thankful. We should be thankful in prayer. We should be thankful in prayer. So Philippians chapter number 4, I'm going to start off with we're thankful. We've learned that. We've learned when we should be thankful, why we should be thankful, how we should be thankful. But now what is the result of our thankfulness? So a result of our thankfulness is our joy. Joy. So you might say, well, I'm a happy person. You know, I'm happy. I'd say I'm pretty happy, but there's a difference between happy and joyful. Happy is situational and for a moment, while joy is constant no matter the situation. So no matter the situation. Let's read Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So no matter the situation, we should be joyful, just like we should be thankful in any situation, we should also be joyful in any situation. And when I think of, like, it says in Isaiah 52:9, break forth with joy. So like when I think of like break, you know, obviously other than like what I do a lot, like breaking things, I think of like when you're like on a team and you like get in a huddle and you're like, all right, you know, you put your hand, break. And that's how we should be, like with our thankfulness and our joyfulness. All right, everybody go separate ways. We're all going to do different jobs, but we're all going to be joyful in those jobs. And just think about when you're not joyful and when you're not thankful. How does that look on your testimony? You know, like when I met someone who was like kind of a jerk, kind of mean, looked like they had no joy, you know? Same with thankfulness. Like when there's like they're just Debbie Downers all the time. They have everything to complain about. That's your testimony you have to think about. Not only, like, just think about what the Lord did. The Lord was good in our lives. And then also it says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So not only should we be joyful in any situation, but that joy is our strength in any situation. That is our strength. You know, just think, like, every situation we have, there's a reason to be joyful. So that's all I have.
Don't close your Bibles. I'm in the same scripture, Philippians 4:7. But I'm going to be reading from Philippians 4:7. And as Braden already covered, we're in the results of thankfulness. He already said joy was a result of thankfulness. But the next result of thankfulness that we can get is stability. The meaning of stability is the state of being stable. What does stable mean? Stable is not likely to give way or overturn. Firmly fixed. In Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As we begin to get thankful, and as we begin to grow in Christ, we find stability. We find stability in Christ. We find stability in what we believe. We find stability in everything because we believe in Christ, and we believe what we're supposed to be doing in Christ is right. And when we're stable in Christ, we'll find out why we won't have much to complain about. We have nothing to complain about as Christians. God has given us salvation. God's given us that gym over there. God's given us good family here in the church. God's given us so much. And we don't have that much to complain about because God has given us so much and we can find stability in that. And when we have our focus on Christ and we choose to keep our eyes on him and nothing else, we'll find a piece of stability and more than that, a thankful spirit. And that's pretty much all I have. So thank you guys.
If you have your Bibles, can you please turn to Philippians 4:9. I'm going to be speaking on contagious. And show of hands, what do you guys think of when I say contagious? Anybody? Everybody? Yeah. Anybody hands? Anybody? No? Okay. Jared? I cannot hear you at all.
Flu.
Flu. Yes, flu. Okay, yeah, that's nothing like we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about spiritual contagiousness. And in Philippians 4:9, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. So his actions are being presented here. And Paul is acting godly, and if you're going to act different and people are going to notice. Which brings me to my second point, which is tell. People are going to ask if they see you acting differently than everybody else out of a crowd. So that gives you an opportunity to tell someone about God and share your testimony and let other people know, which leads to the spread. It's going to be a continuous cycle after you tell them. It may not be something good. They could be like, well, that weird guy said something about Jesus. But it also could be good, and that could encourage them to go learn more. And that's all I got.
If you have your Bibles, please turn to Philippians 4:11 with me. Okay, so if you read it, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So it says there, whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So we have to be content. Why should we be content? Because it's our command. And then, so my second point is, how do you be content? We have to be thankful. Because if you know, Philippians was written by Paul, and it was a letter to the Philippian church, and he was very thankful. Some nights he didn't eat. Some nights he had to probably sleep out in the street, and he didn't have a bed. But he was thankful, and he was content too. So, and then my third point is be thankful for what we have to be content. And so it's something we always have to work on. So, like I said again, Paul was thankful with everything he had. If you read through what the books that he wrote, he was probably thankful in all of the books that he wrote. It says so. We should be like Paul, and we should be thankful, and we should be. And when we're thankful, we're content. It's something you have to always work for. And that's all I have.
Standing at the crossroads of faith and deepest fear, so afraid of failing if you move on from here. The road ahead is steep, but you're not giving up, 'cause God's about to take you to a brand new place of trust. Take a step of faith, it's time to move. Lay aside your fears and watch what God will do. There's victory ahead, that mountain's not too high. Friend, hold on, 'cause you're about to climb. You beyond what you have dreamed, and they're yours for the taking if you dare to believe. So leave your doubts behind and let God make you brave, 'cause he has gone before you and he's already made the way. Take a step of faith, it's time to move. Lay aside your fears and watch what God will do. There's victory ahead, that mountain's not too high. Friend, hold on, 'cause you're about to climb. Step of faith, it's time to move. Lay aside your fears and watch what God will do. There's there's victory ahead. That mountain's not too high. Friend, hold on, 'cause you're about to climb. There's victory ahead. That mountain's not too high. Friend, hold on, 'cause you're about to climb. To climb.
Well, Genesis 50, real quick. And like my wife... wisdom of my wife, people don't care what time you get up, they care what time you get down. And the hour is already late, so we'll be quick. We preacher started with Joseph this morning, so we'll end up with Joseph in Genesis chapter number 50. Anybody ever been in a bad situation? Anybody ever been done wrong? Anybody ever been done wrong on purpose? You're done on purpose? It's like, you did that on purpose towards me to hurt me. That's rough, isn't it? Sometimes you accidentally hurt someone and say, hey, that was an accident. But it's a whole different matter when someone purposefully goes out of their way to hurt you. Yes, sir. And then it's a whole nother situation when that is family that does that. And Joseph had experienced all of that.
Right.
Joseph experienced that when he was younger. Obviously, he was his favorite child. His dad did not help him out on that. With the coat of many colors, and with a big family, with a lot of brothers, a lot of competition. But his brothers hated him. I think when I look back, and Joseph was one of my favorite Bible characters, I think it had almost been more merciful of his brothers to kill him. It had been done. Instead, they decided, well, let's throw him in a pit, then we'll decide what to do with him. And then they sold their own brother into slavery. They didn't need the money. They were from a wealthy family. It was out of spite. It's like, I got you now. And then Joseph from there went to Potiphar's house and was lied about. And found himself in prison. Potiphar, the place that he went, he was the captain of the guard. I know that Potiphar had to find something good in Joseph because when the accusation of Potiphar's wife that Joseph tried to be unseemly with her, he could have killed him immediately and no one would have thought anything about it. Man, there was something about God preserving his life, yeah? And he put him in prison. And that's where he was at for a long time. If I could say, he was in prison when he was sold into the Ishmaelites. He wasn't a free man. And then he found himself in prison. And though he found advances at each stage of his life, he was still in prison. And God's final will had not come to fruition yet. And so then, finally he stands before Pharaoh and God, almost like God snaps his finger. And all of that is wiped away in Joseph's life. It becomes second to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was only greater than Joseph if Pharaoh was in his throne. Think about that. Pharaoh was the top dog of Egypt.
Right.
Saved the Egyptian and saved that surrounding areas because of the prophecy of famine to come. God used him greatly.
Right.
And now his enemies show up. Who is their enemies? His brothers. The Egyptians were not his enemies.
Right.
But his brothers show up. They show up needy. Normally the people that do you wrong are needy. They're in need of something or they wouldn't have done you wrong. And so they show up and you understand the story that, you know, as preacher mentioned this morning, that Joseph did toy with them a little bit. I enjoyed that, reading through that. But when it came time, this is what Joseph said, hey, we've got enough here. Leave all your stuff there. We'll give you the best of our land here. And the brothers still had a worry. We find that they had a worry because once Joseph, once Israel died, his brothers sent a message. Look with me here in Genesis chapter number 50. And verse number 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly quiet us all the evil which we had done in them. Just a little side note. When someone does you spitefully wrong, they have to live with that regret the whole life.
Right.
That's a good lesson for us. What? Let's not do evil to someone so we don't have to live with that.
Yes,
the
sir.
Guilt upon our life.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't know how long they're farther into this, but man, they had still had a guilty conscience from all those years before. In verse number 16, they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto the evil. And now, I don't actually remember a time where Israel said that, but it's beside the point. Now they're coming back and say, Hey, listen, remember what Dad said? Dad said to forgive us. In verse number 18, now his brethren again are in front of him, in front of Joseph. And brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph at that moment could have said, Dad's gone and you're dead.
Yeah. Right.
And no one would have persecuted him.
Right.
Second to Pharaoh. Go, Pharaoh, hey, listen. I'm just getting back even with my brothers for what they did. We're going to let everybody else live, but my brothers, they're done. No one would have thought any different.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we want to do when we've been done wrong? I'm going to get my chance.
Yeah.
And Joseph said in verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comforted unto them. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. Here's a thought. We've been thinking about thankfulness for this whole day.
Yeah.
Joseph had every reason to be angry.
Yeah.
Every reason. Mark it down, he'd had it.
Right.
Joseph had every reason, every earthly reason to say, all right, I'm going to make it even with my brothers. Everybody but Benjamin, of course. No one would thought bad about him. No one would have thought bad about Joseph because he had every reason to make it even harder. Okay, listen, you can stay and you can live, but listen, it's going to be hard on you. Joseph looked at them and said, hey, listen, I'm not in place of God. I forgive you.
Wow.
I'm thankful because that in which you meant it for evil,
yes, sir.
God meant it for good.
Yes, amen.
And because of that, because the plan of God is upon our life, I was able to save much people alive, and I will nourish you.
Yeah.
And he comforted them. Shouldn't it have been the other way around?
Right.
It's amazing the power of thankfulness in our life, no matter what situation
yes,
it brings
sir.
About. Joseph did not spend 15 to 20 years hating his brothers. So how do you know that? Because when it came time to come to fruition,
that's
he
right.
didn't hate his brothers.
Yeah, exactly right.
He didn't spend 15 and 20 years plotting a plan on how he was going to get even with them.
Yes.
When it came time to judgment to be had,
say,
hey, listen, I'm going to nourish you. I love you. I forgive you. I'm thankful what? What you meant for bad? God took it and did a great work. Let's be thankful. Preacher.